The Toddcast Podcast. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Toddcast Podcast.
Hello.
Hey, is this Travis?
This is Travis.
Travis, right on, dude. Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course, not a problem. Glad we got connected here.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. When Rob was saying that there might be a chance, I was like, are you kidding me? Seriously? And he goes, yeah, dude, I know him. I'm like, what? How do you, what the, what? So yeah, man, I'm a fan, obviously. 10 years with the Lions. Man, thank you so much for some great years.
Of course, I appreciate that. Appreciate the good words.
And so how's retired life, or at least I guess retired from the game life, because you're still with the club, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, I like to say to people, to remind them that a CFL retirement is a temporary thing, right?
Right.
So it's been good though. You know, I took my time in making that final decision. Because I wanted to make sure I felt good about it. So I do. Even now that the season started, you know, it's not like I'm going, oh man, did I do the right thing? No, like it's. I mean, that's obviously a little weird being on the other side, but no, I feel good about it. And you know, learning this whole business world that I'm in, and taking it all in. I'm a people person, so I like meeting people and having an opportunity to work with clubs, partners, and stuff. That would be my title, right? It's corporate partnership, so I'm dealing with a lot of people that working with the club and things like that. So no, it's been good so far, and we're just at the beginning of the season here, right? So things are just ramping up.
So what was the first game like watching it and just knowing like. You're watching it. You're a spectator like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Right?
It was, yeah, for sure. No, I mean, it was, the preseason game was one thing, but yeah, the regular season game, this last weekend, I was like, yeah, this is definitely different.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I mean, like I said, I knew what I was getting into. I knew it would come and go, but, I went down kind of on the platform between the two locker rooms before the game when, I mean, I knew a bunch of guys in Winnipeg. The CFL is a small, kind of intimate league. So I'm chopping it up with the guys like I normally did before games.
And I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And how old were you when you realized that, hey, you know what, maybe I can go all the way with this?
Yeah, boy. Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I started playing football in high school. I got good enough to where I started getting recruited to go play collegiately. I knew I wanted to go to college and I knew I wanted to play a sport, and football just happened to be my meal ticket. And so then at the end of, you know, as my college career was getting close to wrapping up, I started recognizing I was getting interest from pro scouts and going, man, you know, shoot, I've played at a high level, whatever, every level I've been, let's see if I can continue to do that. Right. And so it just felt like I was kind of just going out on a limb, but just pursuing what I love to do. And I never really sat down and thought, man, what is this going to look like, or how do I want to do this? I'm like, I got an opportunity now. I'm going to chase it. And I just kind of rode that train for the next 13 years, as it turns out, right? I mean, obviously, after spending a few years in BC, I'm feeling settled and knowing what I'm doing as a pro. But those first few years, man, was just a blur, you know, bouncing from team to team. I was off and on with the Seahawks for three different seasons, right? They shipped me off to NFL Europe. I played a spring in Berlin, Germany. And then, I had a 3-month stint with the New Orleans Saints. And then, you know, 3.5 years into that, I finally went, man, I'd had some interest from the CFL, and BC was that team. And then I got here, and I didn't know anything when I got here, and I just ended up sticking. And, you know, again, like 10 years later, kind of, wow, that was a heck of a run. What a journey. Right. And now I'm just kind of breathing and looking, kind of surveying the landscape of life after football. But it was a heck of a run.
Yeah.
I had a blast doing it.
You know, you talk to a lot of football fans, and they'll say that the NFL's a better game. And as a CFL fan, I go like, actually, and you've played in both leagues, the CFL's harder to play in, right?
Yeah, I'll say this. Yeah, I mean... I mean, just playing quarterback, I can tell you that, man. It's more complex. There's 12 guys. There's so much more pre-snap motion. I say this often. You make a lot more of the decisions before the snap of the football in the NFL than you do in the CFL, because there's so much that happens just prior to the snap in the CFL that is different than the NFL. It just is. By the rules, it's more of a static game. You generally get a better look at defenses. You know, when I'm watching an NFL game and I'm hearing Tony Romo call half of the plays out, you know, he's like, oh, they're going to throw it to this guy here. And, well, you can you can see that in the NFL game. And, you know, someone had asked me, because I've done a little broadcast work, right, and, you know, have could potentially pursue that at some point. But people say, would you be able to call it out like Tony? And I said, well, frankly, no, you'd be guessing in the CFL. There's just more options. There's more, more
options
that happen.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there just is. There's extra guys. You got another guy running around. There's extra guy on defense. You just can't see. It's not as cut and dry. And, you know, obviously NFL teams are very good at disguising defenses too, but just in general, it just is. It's a different game. You got to be managed differently. You got to take chances more wisely, or you got to be more choosy about it because you only have three downs to make
less,
it first,
less
right?
Downs,
so,
yeah,
it's just,
right? Yeah.
It's just entirely different. The kicking game is so incredibly important because it is harder to sustain long drives because of the nature of it being a three-down game. Some of the rules do cater to the offense, obviously. More motion, a little bit more space on the offensive line, those types of things do, but the one less down is more than an equalizer, right?
So, absolutely.
Playing up here, I just grew to appreciate it and love it. And I'm one of those guys, I mean, I respect and appreciate both games, but yeah, there's certain challenges in the CFL that are just unique to the CFL, there's no question.
Yeah, it strikes me like you'd be a guy that would be even cool with just playing, a tag ball.
If we're competing, I'm having a good time doing it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. What's your first football memory?
Oh, boy. You know, that's funny you ask this. Just recently here, I with the BC Lions, we host Orange Helmet Awards. This is our minor football fundraiser and banquet we host every spring, right? So this year's keynote speaker was Drew Bledsoe.
Cool.
Drew Bledsoe was his father. Used to run these football camps in Oregon and Washington called the Old Northwest Football Camps. And I went to my first ever football, like first time I ever put pads on. I actually didn't play football until I was going to be a freshman in high school, until I was going into ninth grade. I just played soccer up until then, just my little hometown. We didn't have football. Okay. But I always knew I wanted to play, right? Played it on the playground and stuff. But first organized football, put that helmet and shoulder pads on, and I had a picture taken with Drew Bledsoe.
That's awesome.
And, 21 years later, a month after I'd announced my retirement from professional football, I got to sit at the same table as Drew, who was keynoting our event. And so I had to show him a picture of myself as a 14-year-old and him in 1998.
That's great.
He was in the prime of his career. So, yeah, that was my first memory, was going to that football camp and just, I had my eyes wide open to what this game was starting to look like, and then, just went on a journey from there.
Right. That's cool. This question was going to be coming your way. You had to know this was coming. Who is the best player in today's CFL?
There's argument for a handful of guys, but I'm going to give it to my buddy Mike Riley right now. The reason I say that, obviously Bo Levi Mitchell is, you hear me steering towards quarterbacks, and it just is. I mean, this is not a quarterback thing, and this is because the CFL is a quarterback-driven league, and that's, whether you're a quarterback or not, that's how you feel. But, Bo's a heck of a football player. Trevor Harris is a good football player, really good football player right now. Our league's got a pretty good stable of quarterbacks. I like watching Jeremiah Masoli play a lot, too. I just think Mike is at he's been able to sustain a high level of play for a few years now and been able to avoid the injury bug that's kept him on the field, allowed him to continue to play at a high level. But the other thing about Mike is that he's been through the muck, so to speak, right? Like it wasn't an easy road for Mike. Mike was almost cut in BC in 2011, right? I was his roommate, and he was just scratching and clawing to make our football team, and he did it. And then a year later, he becomes a backup, played a couple games. But then, I remember having conversations with Mike and him saying, look, I think it's time, I want to go try. This is your team. I got to go. I want to do this. And, he was going through some changes in his personal life and things like that. And he just took a leap and went into free agency and did the deal. And, he got an opportunity in Edmonton, but that first year they went 4-14 in Edmonton. Right. And I was like, I was like his life coach on the other end. He'd be calling me like, Trav, if I ever didn't, do the justice that you deserve to everything that's on your plate as starting quarterback, my apologies. There's a lot going on here, and I'm trying to make this thing go. And so anyways, Mike, obviously he battled through it. Made it out the other side and ended up winning a championship there in Grey Cup championship in Edmonton in 2015, and has sustained a high level of play. So it's fun to have him back in BC. We'd kind of joked about this at Grey Cup this year. I said, Mike, I think I'm done, man. I'm going to retire. And I just kind of offhandedly was like, listen, I think you ought to, I think you ought to come back to BC and finish out your career. And he was like, Trav, I was going to ask you what you were going to do. Cause if you're walking away, I think I want to come back. And I said, oh, okay, well, shoot, well, let's try to make this thing happen, right?
Right.
So, yeah, so he's back in the black and orange. He looks natural, and I thought he looked sharp the other night. You know, team just came up short, but I tell you what, there's been a lot of change on that BC team, and so I just think the team's going to get better as the season goes on, and they got a good leader in Mike who's battled through the muck and come to a new place and won a championship before, so it'll be fun to watch this journey.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Travis, I'm dragging you outside of football and what you're known for a sec here. What are you binge watching right now for shows? Like, what are the shows you can't get enough of?
Oh, man. Let's see, the most recent show. Oh, wait, listen, my favorite show of all time I've binge watched several times is The Office. I'm an Office guy. Michael Scott's my guy. The American version with Steve Carell. I actually saw that first, you know, just, be, you know, that's how it goes in North America sometimes.
Sure.
I was introduced to that one first. But yeah, I think most recently, boy, what's the name of the show? Single Parents.
Yeah, right.
I've been on Single Parents lately. I like the goofy comedy, I guess. That's my thing. I don't want to think too much or be stressed out watching the show at night.
Yeah,
so
no, fair enough.
If something comes on, it's an easy laugh.
And did you get into the Game of Thrones? And were, if so, were you just worked up about the ending as everybody else was?
You know what? I never got into it. And it's funny, as this was coming to a head here recently, I felt like, am I the only guy on the planet who doesn't know what's happening in Game of Thrones right now? You know,
no kidding,
I
right?
really, really felt like an outsider with all the news that was making. Yeah, from what I understand, there were a lot of people unhappy with how it ended, but I really don't know.
I heard the same thing. Gives me the opening to tune in
one day, potentially.
Yeah. I got in a couple, two, three seasons in, but I'm one of those guys that'll like, I won't necessarily always finish seasons and series. You know what I mean? Like, I get busy. I get doing that, and then I forget where I am, and then I want to, like, try to find it again. And
I'm kind of the opposite. That's part of the reason I haven't started, because I'm like, I'm so far behind, and I will do everything I have to do to catch up or watch it all as fast as I can, and I just don't need that right now.
Well, apparently there's the sixth season all in one like half hour 40-minute YouTube thing to get you caught up to the last season.
Okay,
I might do that.
Yeah, that's the difference between reading a book and watching the movie, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like it.
100%, yeah. What was your first concert?
Oh man, my first concert, I think when I went as a kid, I went to Toby Keith.
Okay.
Country concert at the Oregon State Fair.
Nice.
I grew up small town, kind of a country kid, so we, you know, country music was our thing, and yeah, I went to it was Toby Keith at the Oregon State Fair, and I hardly knew, you know, what, you know, I must have been 10 or 11, you know, back then. First one I can really remember going to, though, I saw Hank Williams Jr. and the Charlie Daniels Band at the Rose Garden in Portland when I was like a seventh or eighth grader. So
right.
I that's the one I remember.
So growing up, were you like the 4-H club? Did you get into that stuff? Or
I wasn't all in. Like, we didn't have farm animals. Like,
okay.
we had horses. We had a couple horses, but we weren't like a dairy farmers or anything. Right?
Right,
we didn't have all the extra chickens and those types of things. We did have horses. We saddled up and rode horses around.
My dad,
I think, was a wannabe cowboy. So
right.
We were kind of the tail end of that generation of my dad there. So,
right.
But no, yeah, no, Garth Brooks was my guy in the 90s, right?
Oh,
like,
so
like, it's still, I've still never seen Garth live, and I feel
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You got to see those bands like that. Like, he is insanely good.
I know, and I know there's like a contingent here in Vancouver, right, that want to see Garth has never come, is my understanding. I think he's coming to Regina this summer. It was just announced a couple weeks ago.
It's
so
like you hear
he's coming to Canada.
A road trip, I guess. Like,
yeah,
if I'm going to go to Regina, it might be for a cool show.
I know. Well, that might be worth it. So,
if you could have one superpower, which superpower would you want to have?
Oh man,
were you a big comic book kid as a growing up?
Not huge, but I would want to, this comes with a caveat, so it's kind of a double superpower, but I want to be able to fly.
Yeah.
But I'd want to be able to fly at speed.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be like
just
a slow flyer, right? Like, I want to be able to zoom.
Flying at 27 kilometers an hour, but flying, but it kind of takes some time here, you know?
Yeah,
you'd have to be able
exactly.
to, like, bullet, it would be Superman speed.
Yeah, right. Like, it doesn't, and listen, it doesn't have to be the speed of light, but I want to go pretty quickly, right? I'd love to just be able to, you know, glance off from a distance, be like, I'm going to fly to the top of Mount Baker, or I'm going to fly up to Whistler for the evening, you know, and just jet up there.
Right.
That'd be sweet.
That would be pretty awesome, yeah. what do you think of the chances of aliens having visited Earth? Do you believe aliens have visited?
Well, we'd have to define alien, right? Like,
Born on Earth.
Not born on Earth, a life form.
Well, I mean, maybe. Know. I mean, maybe it could be a gas form. Doesn't need to
be
human.
Well, see, that's what I'm getting at. I feel like there's certainly been some sort of
something
from outer space, whether that represents life, like an alien, like a, you know, like a green-headed little with antennas. I don't know about all that, but
right.
I gotta believe this Earth is just way more big and complex than we know. I don't think, this is me, right? I don't think that, yeah, there are little green goblins staring around corners that are watching us humans, you know, but there's just, I mean, you look into space and it's almost overwhelming to think about. So
yeah,
there's things, I don't know what it is or how that looks, but it's bigger than we think.
And we've seen enough video to like, you know what I mean? Like people post videos of
Completely conclusive evidence every time too, right?
Yeah, of course. Yes, exactly. thank you again for doing this tonight with us, Travis. Three more questions. The first would be, what's your take on legalized marijuana?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's funny, right? Like, it baffles me to how it was so demonized for so long, right? Mm. Like, I just don't understand how, you know, alcohol is viewed one way and marijuana is viewed another way, or had been for so long. So
it still is, even
it only makes sense that at a certain period of time it would have become legal. It's kind of just funny that this is our era of life we live through, and I feel like it'll be like, you know, we were living in the teens or 20s or what have you when prohibition ended, and then everyone was drinking legally in the bars. I feel like it's the same type of thing. We just lived through that stage of life. So it certainly seems more natural, safe, less detrimental to your body than alcohol, which, I'm not opposed to having a beer or two here or there. So.
Right. And not only that, but it may not be beyond the not detrimental. It may even actually help your body. I mean, when you look at like UFC fighters and Bellator fighters and, you know, all those people are literally kicking the shit out of each other. And they'll have CBD oils to kind of recoup the body quicker.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of become a more widely accepted practice in the sporting world in the last couple of years, obviously. So, I mean, great. If we're finding benefits out of a natural substance, I mean, I'm all about it.
Right. Of course, let's not even get into the medicinal part and the textiles and everything else. But
and which I would not be an expert in anyhow.
And I'm not either. So have you ever had a near-death experience?
Yes. Yes, I have.
What happened?
And mostly in hindsight, and this is just, boy, I didn't tell my parents this for years, but just, I was a new driver, right? I must have been 16 or 17, I hadn't been driving long, and I just remember it was dusk, it was a two-lane country road, here's me, another country kid story, and it's two-lane road, and there's just a little wave in the road ahead, right? And I'm going, well, I would be able to see some headlights. You know, there's nobody here. And I went to pass the car, and I'm in the left lane. And wouldn't you know, the car, like in the one spot it could have been hidden, rises over the hill. I'm like dead even with the car next to me. And this car it is not far in front of me. And I actually swerved off the road to the left, and the car split the two of us, right? Like,
wow.
If you can imagine, yeah. So I'm on the left-hand shoulder with the brakes locked up, skidding in gravel, and there's a car driving in the right-hand lane, probably like, what is this guy doing? He's going to get us all killed, and the car in the other opposite lane split right between us. And I just sat there. I sat there just trembling for 10 minutes before I could drive.
Like, that's a white knuckler. You're like prying your fingers off the steering wheel.
Oh, scary moment. Yes, said a few prayers and to catch my breath before I drove home. And mom and dad didn't hear that story for a few years.
Yeah, that's one you keep back from them for a bit. Yeah. All right, I'll hit you with the toughest one.
Yeah.
What's your career highlight? Can you nail it down to one thing?
Yeah, this one's easy. The career highlights, hoisting the cup in 2011, man. That was, you know, it becomes more fun in hindsight, too, just to recognize how special that was. You know, I mean, a lot of people know the story. You may have been around for that or paying attention, right? But we started the year 0-5, and you know, halfway through the year, we moved back into BC Place, and we got to playing really good football, and we were just on fire the rest of the way. As we moved back into the building, it was just packed and rocking. Everybody wanted to see the new place. The Grey Cup was in Vancouver. You know, we win our final game, which means we get to host the Western Final. If we win the West Final, we're playing in what amounts to a home Grey Cup, and then we got it done, right, just in front of a rocking house. Such a cool venue that did the CFL justice, you know, at our pinnacle moment, and I got to be directly involved in all that. So that was obviously really special. His name, the MVP of the game. We hoisted the trophy overhead and the orange and white confetti. And yeah, it was a fairy tale ending to a tough start. And it's just, you know, it was a phenomenal life lesson for me in perseverance and overcoming the negativity and adversity at the beginning. And so, you know, it's something that, you know, other teams have used as an example for years. We've gotten countless stories from teams,
right,
you know, high school coaches and teams in other places that we started slow, and we referenced the 2011 BC Lions, you know. And so to be a part of that kind of story, and to be able to tell that story and,
yeah, it's pretty cool,
kind of make an impact years later was pretty dang cool, man.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're 0-5, 0-4, you're getting chirped off. You're getting chirped hard by sports writers in Vancouver.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I remember.
It's on.
I was on, man. I remember walking into a coffee shop one time. I'm with my wife. We didn't have kids yet. You know, we're out in a little afternoon just outing, and there's an article about how, I, you know, the Lions are terrible, and maybe Lule's reign as the starter's over, and right, all this stuff.
Right.
And I just reached over and flipped the newspaper upside down so my wife didn't have to see the article, and just stood in line like nothing happened. And, you know, wouldn't you know, that's the year I'm crowned the MVP of the league and all that stuff. And, you know, months before, my right, own papers were beaking us pretty hard.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I know. The local writers in town drive me crazy, because they'll chirp you one day, and then they want to, you know, hey, Travis, what's going on, bro? You know, like, don't fucking bro me. You just said I was the worst player, and that I'm off my horse, and I'm getting dragged through the mud. Like, I don't want to talk to you now. Why? Like, I'm not even a player, and I know that would be the way you guys would feel. It doesn't make sense, man.
I tell you what, and it's, you know, and it's one thing for writers, and I get it. They're trying to sell papers, sure, and if they think Solation that sells in the moment, yeah, so be it. But yeah, yeah, but it's human nature, too, right? Like, you want to pile on when somebody's doing bad, and you want to get on board when somebody's doing good. It's funny. Like, I saved clips of people on Twitter that literally, like, said, you're the worst quarterback in Lions history. Get out of town. I never want to see you again, blah, blah, blah. The same exact Twitter handles are going, you're the best, we love you, so happy right, to have you in Vancouver. I'm going, seriously, guy, like, I remember you.
Yeah,
you can't say, well,
funny, like a year ago, you, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I remember that. Travis, you're a good man. Thank you for doing this. You are at Travis Lule. Simple to find you online on Twitter, and you're pretty active and engaged, which is very cool to see.
Yeah.
So thank you again for doing this tonight, Travis, and I guess we'll see you online.
You bet, I'm around. I appreciate the invite.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.